to the Evening Rush, 1290 WNCS, the talk of the town.
Good afternoon, Milwaukee, and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Evening Rush. It is 3:05. You're listening to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. And you want to talk about changes? Yeah, there are changes in the air and changes in the room. I don't know where to begin.
What kind of changes are you talking about?
Well, there's changes today. I mean, normally when I come in here, I'm sitting there. We start to show off. I'm all alone, and I'm looking at Kira, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about.
Dang, he's just looking at you. No, but
don't talk like that. My wife is listening.
Yeah, and I usually don't sit on this mic, too. So, yeah. Okay, hey, Earl, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Jesus?
Just fine. It's, you know, we brought this gentleman in the studio, and we got the owner in the house, too.
Yeah.
You see what you do when you come into the studio?
Well, who is that gentleman?
That would be Sheriff David Clark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Earl, you just freaked a whole lot of people out because you said it's Thursday afternoon and it's Wednesday.
It sure is.
And a lot of people might be leaving town, catching a flight Thursday. And I know last night when you closed up the show, because I do listen to you, you said, I'll be back Thursday. So that's probably what you're thinking.
Oh, well, you know what? I'm glad you corrected me because my wife usually does that a lot. She's not around now.
Well, it's not about correcting you. I just want to freak out your listeners.
And you are absolutely right. Maybe I'm trying to rush time. You know, a long time ago, I was about maybe 18, 19, 20 years old when I was working at A.O. Smith. And I kept looking at my watch and I couldn't wait to get off. It was on a Friday. And I said, I can't wait to get, because I wanted to go out and have a good time. And an old guy told me, says, son, never rush time. I didn't know what he was talking about. Well, now I understand what he's talking about. Because time will take care of itself.
You're just getting old.
I'm certainly not getting old.
But it's all good. It is 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Also, Willie Davis.
Hi, TJ.
How are you?
Now, why does the hi have to go to TJ first?
Because I said hi.
Well, you know, that's Miss TJ.
Don't forget that.
I'm delighted to be here today, and I would say to be here with the sheriff and all this, I feel safe.
Well, if you can't feel safe with the sheriff in the studio, I don't know, you know, if you'll ever feel safe. But Mr. Davis, you've been hanging around for the last several days. What brings you back to the city of Milwaukee?
Well, believe it or not, yesterday, which was my main reason for coming back, I spoke at the Better Business Bureau's luncheon, and I had a few things to share with them about what we all face today, and in a big way, the Better Business, because ethical integrity and all those things right now probably has never been in a greater need in this country than we have tonight with Wall Street and all the other craziness that has happened in our country over the last couple of years. It has made ethics and things that we kind of have always treasured in our life, it has made them a little more important than ever, and I tried to share that yesterday with them.
Well, I don't think there's anybody any more qualified to do that than you. You've been in business for an awful long time. You know, I was looking at an article the other day in Detroit. There were 35,000 people who showed up for 300 jobs. I mean, you being a businessman and looking at the changes that are going on today, how do you feel as a businessman today in this climate?
Well, Detroit is almost an unusual situation within itself, because believe it or not, I was listening to a speaker. I think it was in Las Vegas not too long ago, and they were talking about there was a time when Detroit basically set the pattern or set the existence of black in America as making progress. There were more successful blacks in terms of earning revenue, business, and everything than any other city in the country. And it's interesting. A lot of it obviously was tied to the automotive business, and other things have since gone way away. And it's Detroit right now is almost a desperate place to be.
How are businesses, even you owning as many businesses as you do, survival right now is probably what many businesses are in, and many businesses have not been able to survive. What is your outlook on that?
Well, there's no question. The quick answer is that it's tougher out there than it's ever been. The economy right now, it forces all of us to make adjustments. You lower your cost of doing business. You do all those things that typically big business you read about, but a little guy trying to run a few radio stations out someplace, you go through the same process. You know, I'm invested in a small business myself in Detroit, a Bridgewater thing. We build seats for the automotive industry. And I can tell you right now at Black Enterprise 4 or 5 years ago, kind of recognized us as being the largest business, black business in the U.S., and we should have taken a picture of that because I think it is mostly gone away today. Although I will say this, that Bridgewater, which is the company that in which I'm speaking of, it has been reasonably successful, but have done all the things you have to do to survive, and that's reduced the number of employed people and everything else that's just kind of torn us apart lately.
Mm-hmm. You know what, that you mentioned that, Earl, 35,000 people showing up for 300 jobs?
Yes, sir.
And, Willie, you touched on this a little bit about how competitive it is now, and that's what that tells me. If you don't come to the table with some skills that employers want, and I don't mean the minimum skills anymore, everything about the economy, everything about the world is changing, and it's those people who have remade themselves and will remake themselves in this new economy that are going to be in a better position to compete for those jobs. And some of the things that are talked about on this radio station, some of the things that I brought up, some of the things I'll talk about today, lend itself to that, making yourself as competitive as you can in this scarce labor market. Otherwise, it's going to be extremely tough.
Sheriff, you're so true. I don't think I've ever been at a period in time in this country where I had more concern about how we do and how we prepare ourselves for the future. But I would say, you know, all my life I grew up with people saying, get an education, do this, do that. And it always resonated a little bit, but I'm not sure I got the message. I would say today, I could say unquestionably, whether you black, white, or yellow, without an education, you're in serious, serious trouble in this country, and you need to prepare yourself to do something.
It is it is 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Willie Davis, I wanted to ask you this too. Being a business owner yourself, and many times, you know, people go off, become celebrities, make millions of dollars, and sometimes they don't give back. And you yourself have employed many people, not only here in Milwaukee. You just talked about your business in Detroit and your business in L.A. and wherever else you're doing business around the world. Have you felt an obligation to give back to the community? I think it's a great thing that you have, and you are committed to the city of Milwaukee, especially here. And you always tell me that 1290 is really special to you. And I know that that's your heart for the black community, especially here in the city of Milwaukee. But as it relates to being number 87, Hall of Famer, Milwaukee Green Bay, the Green Bay Packers, you know, and your commitment to just employing people like us, everyday people here. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's no question. It matters. It has always mattered to me. And truly, I sleep well at night because I do attempt to give back. And I will probably be trying to do that until they haul me away on that final trip. And you know, I was just talking with Sheriff before we came on about, you know, there's a friend we have in, Frank Clark, who I played with at Cleveland for a couple of years. And just a special guy. And you know, Frank would be the same kind of guy, giving back, because he's just that kind of guy inside. So, giving back sometimes is one of the most most pleasant things you can do. You know, I would say that, unfortunately, the money situation the last 3 or 4 years made giving back a little bit more subdued than before. But when I had the beverage company out in Watts, California, I can tell you right now, I gave back probably, I gave back until it hurt. And and I don't feel bad about it today. In fact, I feel good about it. And I can tell you, I'll just say this and shut up. But when I had the chairman of the Schlitz Brewing Company out in Watts at one time, we went out and made a few calls, and the individual said to Mr. McKeithen, says, "We sell a lot of Willie's beer." Not Schlitz, but Willie's beer.
Willie, there's another thing that you need to be commended for as well, and you know, I do have a familiarity with Willie when he wasn't terrorizing Don Meredith, who was throwing passes to my Uncle Frank Clark when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, life after professional sports. And I think that you epitomize for today's young athletes that they realize early on that those careers don't last forever. You talked about giving back, but also modeling behavior. And I think you're modeling that behavior. You lined yourself up tremendously. I know it was a lot of hard work, and it's still a lot of hard work today. But we see too many of today's young athletes who don't prepare for life after football. So the fact that you model that is another way of giving back. And in case you just joined us, you're listening to 1290 WMCS, the Talk of the Town. I'm Sheriff Clark in studio with Earl, the Duke of Earl, as I call him.
The Duke of Earl.
Mr. Willie Davis.
Well, you know, Sheriff, let me just say that you are right in your thoughts and judgments about probably all the current and former athletes. We all probably could take a page from how to do things better in life. And I would say that one of the best decisions I ever made was when I went back to school while I was playing at Green Bay and got my master's at the University of Chicago. And it kind of opened up a new world for me in some sense. You know, I can sit here today and say, when I had announced that I was going to retire at the end of the 69 season, I had 67 companies that expressed an interest in my talking to them about a job. I met with about 12, and lo and behold, things worked out. But I would say to you, a lot of it was from the preparation.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell the listeners the real reason you're in town, Willie. It's been a well-kept secret, but, you know, the Packers are struggling with it. They haven't been able to generate a pass rush. And Willie said he could still bring it, so they brought him in for his 40 time and his bench press reps. He still got that.
He hitting below the belt, Mr. D.
The 225 up, 26 reps. His 40 time has slipped a little. When he ended his career, he was at a 4.440. Now he's up to 4.6. But, you know, they think they still might they're going to take another look, Willie. What do you think?
Sheriff, where have you been all of my life? You know, let me assure you that the situation at Green Bay right now, I think, concerns us all a little bit. We witnessed the Minnesota Packer game, and I would have to say, without a doubt, we were all a little disappointed to the extent that we didn't get the rush and other things that tended to bother Brett when he was a Packer. I mean, anytime he's got that major rush, he would put a few up for grabs. But in the Minnesota game most recently, I've never seen him better. And I would say right now, you know, my old coach Lombardi used to say, "Sheriff, you play a game at a time. So don't start looking for." But I would say right now, some guys probably they leave practice and, "When we play the Vikings again, we will be different."
Well, you know, we've got Al, and we're going to bring him in before we get to the break because, you know, Sheriff, you got Corey Nettles on the line. So we'll bring Al in before we go to break. Al, how you doing? You have a question for Mr. Davis about business. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, gentlemen. Hello. We often get Mr. Davis, but I never hear anyone ask him about how he got started in business, property ownership, and just in general, what was your first business and how did you fund it?
Now, you just asked the magic question then. How did I fund it? Well, first of all, when I said I was going to retire, I had gotten a call from the Schlitz Brewing Company, who I had worked for then for six off seasons in a sense, and they said you had said at one time you might be interested in a distributing company in California. Were you just kidding? And I, as much as I was at that time, I said, well, I don't know. I said, let's talk. And so that let's talk led to my opening up Willie Davis Distributing Company in 1710 East 111th Street. I put my sign out, got broken into that same night.
Really?
And you know, it was so crazy because I was in the beer business there for 19 years. Went from probably the least successful to the most successful distributing company in the Western Division. And I tell you, when I sold out of the business, it was a tough moment for me. And I actually, you know, I'm told that I should have taken a picture of this. I saw tough-minded call the shots any way they felt, beer drivers cry. So I actually got involved in radio. I bought the first of what turned out to be later a total of 10 radio stations in Inglewood, California was the first one, and then I bought the two stations in Milwaukee, a station in Seattle, Houston, Denver. You name it, and you know it's kind of interesting. I would say you're never going to get this done without some help. And as much as I could sit here and talk about it, there were people along the way that helped me, starting from the very beginning. The people at Schlitz Brewing Company helped me with some financing. The people with Northwestern Mutual helped me in purchasing radio stations. So, you know, it's just that maybe at a point you create enough credibility or enough track record where you can go to a lender and you can make your case and they're willing to listen.
You know, I know we're long, but I got to ask you this question, you know, before you get out of here. I remember the Golden Boys. I don't know, Sheriff Clark, if you remember Dunny Anderson and Jim Grabowski, the Million Dollar Babies. And I think Dunny Anderson got $700,000. Jim Grabowski, you got $300,000. How did you guys take that? I mean, what was your pace rate at that point in time? And then they brought in these two rookies and gave them $1 million, haven't proven anything. You remember those days?
Yeah, I remember those days. And I would say at the same time, those guys were getting that. Put me down for $45,000 salary and with $5,000 as defensive captain. So a total of $50,000.
Is that what, at that point?
And absolutely. And maybe the first time I ever said that.
Yeah.
But that is true. And I would have to tell you that Coach Lombardi came to us and he said, "Hey guys, you know I have kind of restrained myself from paying the big bucks to these guys coming in here from out of college." He said, "But if we're going to be competitive in the future, we're going to have to invest in these guys." And said, "It's not cheap," and I think we didn't necessarily like it. But I think we all lived with it.
Well, you know.
Thank you for stopping in, Mr. Davis. Well, you're welcome anytime.
Well, thank you. You know, one other thing I'd just like to say, you know, for Milwaukee and WMCS, you're right. I mean, I don't, every day, even in Los Angeles, California, I have a quiet moment and I think about Milwaukee and I think about MCS and I think about all the things we would like to do that we haven't been able to do, but I'm still committed.
And we thank you for all that you do.
Appreciate it.
When we come back, we will continue on. We just a little impromptu, you know, when the owner comes in, we have to rearrange the schedule. So when we come back, we'll talk. Myself, Earl Ingraham. Who are you again?
Well, never rearranged the schedule for me.
Like I said, it's the Evening Rush.
Oh, okay. Wait, isn't that my show?
They're all in the studio. We'll be right back. 1290 WMCS. We're talking to town.
Of broadcast excellence. Now back to the Evening Rush with Earl Ingraham on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
3:33, you're listening to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. And I got to tell you, $50,000 was what he was making? I mean, I guess people really don't know after all those years of playing. I mean, Sheriff, I wonder what, if because I know there had to be some harsh feelings. If you're busting your tail and $50,000 is all you get, and they bring in two rookies and they get, one of them gets $700,000, the other one gets $300,000. They haven't proven anything. There's got to be some harsh feelings.
Yeah, but you know, that's the way it exists today with competition and salaries, and someone saying, well, this receiver here, my stats are better than his.
Right.
And they even compare him from different teams now, not just the team you're playing with. And, you know, that's been one of the arguments from the old-timers is, you know, they built this league. And there's been some feuding back and forth over the retirees and what kind of pension and pension raises and whatnot in light of what the league has become today. And some of the, you know, Mike Ditka has been carrying that torch.
But,
you know, some of the new ones today, the younger athletes say, well, you know, that's kind of the way it is. And, you know, I can see a little of that, but, you know, they need to take care of the old-timers where they can.
Well, I mean, say you brought in new deputies and they're making more than the deputies who've been there. That would certainly have to do something to morale, wouldn't it?
Sure, but that's not what happens in
the real world.
That kind of organized effort, right. And, you know, those athletes, though, they have an NFLPA, the Players Association, the union, but those guys are independent contractors, and there is no seniority, and I've been here longer than you, and that just it really doesn't apply.
Well, Sheriff Clark is at the helm, and how does it feel to be sitting over there?
a lot more comfortable than I thought it would be. Yeah. I had butterflies, anxiety. I believe I prepared, But, you know, until you're in the hot seat, and I call this the hot seat.
That's probably why
the mic is
microphone
red.
Cover is red. But I'm used to being in the hot seat. But it is a different dynamic for me because I'm not in radio.
You've got some great guests lined up.
Yeah,
there,
and let me even go back a little bit because from time to time when he has time and we call him and we say we're not saying Sheriff David Clark is the new host on 1290. No, that's not the case.
He's not giving up his night job?
No. So from time to time, we may have you in studio. And, you know, I think that it will be interesting. One of the beautiful things about talk radio is that we don't always agree on one issue. And then when we can talk about both sides, maybe it can be enlightening for some and educational for others, and we can learn from each other's perspectives. And I know that, you know, many people may say, Sheriff Clark don't agree with nothing I say, you know, and I think that's one of the beautiful things that we can have you here and residents in the city of Milwaukee can call in and beyond and dialogue with you about those things. One thing that, you know, and I will speak on behalf of listeners as well. You know, one may say, well, he just wants to campaign for whatever he's going to do or run for next. So why don't you tell us, what is it about, you know, the platform of radio that you think that you would be of some benefit in, you know, being a part of coming on every now and then?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, the radio station, just for the opportunity. You know, I've got an opportunity or chance to do some radio in the position that I'm in now, and so I've been intrigued by it. It's a little different, though, being a guest and not having to, you know, run with the thing for several hours. But I like contrast. I think it's healthy, and that's what I want to bring when I'm given the opportunity to come in here. Without contrast, you know, things by themselves don't really have meaning. In other words, day has no meaning without night. Fast has no meaning without slow. And so if there isn't contrast, even in our thoughts, in our discussions, in our discourse, and I believe in spirited discourse, not to necessarily come to an agreement, but an expression of ideas. And I learned from that. I like to think that people will learn from me as well. We can benefit together from this, regardless of whether we come to an agreement. I don't necessarily need or want anybody to agree with me per se. I think that there are two schools of thought when it comes to issues. There are competing interests, and that's all there is. What I like to do is I like to, you know, form an opinion on an issue. I like to do my research. I'm an avid reader, so I read up on those things that interest me so I can get some information. I follow my own lead in terms of where I come down on an issue. It isn't because somebody else is saying it or somebody else told me to be that way. So I like to frame an opinion and research the thing, and then I like to articulate that opinion. And radio is one of those medias that offers that. So that's what intrigues me about it, and I just hope I add value to this radio station. This radio station doesn't need me. I think they do fine, but it is an avenue for me to do something that I truly like, and that is framing an opinion, not to be right on everything. I'm not right. I'm probably wrong on more things than I'm right, but that's beside the point, because to me it's not a matter of being right or being wrong. It's here's what I think. I've thought it out. Here's some of the research that I have read about. I don't do my own research, but I look at others, and I say, so here's where I come down on this issue. And if people disagree, that's fine. I say, well, you know, tell me about your thought process. Let's walk it through. We can have some back and forth. It shouldn't denigrate into personal attacks. It shouldn't denigrate into mean-spiritedness. And that's what I find in our discourse even locally here today, much less nationally. You see that political discourse has just denigrated into some, you know, real ugliness. In case you're just tuning in, I'm Sheriff Clark. You're listening to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town, in studio with the Duke of Earl. And you remember that, don't you?
Oh, come on, man.
1962, on. The number one hit, Gene Chandler.
Well, come on, man.
And after that, you know that after that hit reached number one, he went out and bought himself a cape and a top hat and made that part of his routine. So we're going to have to get you a cape.
I didn't remember all of that, but I can tell you this much. There's no doubt that as President Barack Obama said it best, we don't have to agree, but we don't have to reduce each other to caricature. And he was absolutely right in that. As you and I often talk, our politics aren't the same, right? I mean, we may be in many instances
polar opposites. Nothing wrong
but
with that.
I think people need to hear the other side of any debate, of any issue. And you are well-versed and well-thought-out on what side of the issues you come down on. And I think that makes great radio.
Let's do this, because I do want to talk about some of the issues that are of interest to you. And I know at one point you said, well, I don't want to talk a lot about law enforcement. So I want to know, what do you want to talk about? And we see, Darren, we see you there as well. But we need to take a break. So why don't you lead us in the break?
1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Celebrating 30 years of broadcast excellence, the Evening Rush on 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town.
Welcome back to the radio show, 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. I'm Sheriff Clark, filling some big shoes, but I have some good help here. I'm in studio with Earl Ingram.
I don't know about
TJ.
Those big shoes, man.
Come on, man.
Those would be TJs.
I'm trying to give you some props, man, and you won't even take. You know, I'm a rookie at this, so... I've had some great tutoring with you and TJ. They've worked with me. You didn't just throw me into the deep end of the pool.
We had something to work with. See, that's how you start.
And right. We will go to the phone lines in just a second. But for those we all know of Sheriff David Clark, and we all know of some of the issues that you are for and against or whatnot. But why don't you tell us something about Sheriff David Clark that we may not know?
Well, you know, I find it healthy to have a plurality of voices in our community. And you know, I talked about a little earlier as to what value that I want to bring to the radio station when I get the opportunity to come in here. And, you know, we don't all think alike. People know that, they say it, but sometimes I think they forget about it. You know, as a people, we embrace diversity. We think diversity is a good thing when it comes to hiring. We think diversity is a great thing when it comes to promotion. When it comes to the makeup of neighborhoods, even our investment advisors tell us to diversify our portfolios. And, you know, those are smart approaches and they're the right thing to do. But then sometimes people forget there's another type of diversity that I'm big on, and it's diversity of thought. And that's where the contrast comes in. And sometimes that's where people get a little uncomfortable with me because I bring a different point of view. And... you know, I think it's dangerous for us to allow ourselves to be pigeonholed, to allow ourselves to be painted into corners about, you know, what do black people say, what do they think, what do they feel, what do they eat, what do they do. And, you know, you've heard that horrible saying, I think it is, that, you know, all black people look alike, all black people think alike. I've never believed that. We don't believe that as a people, but then sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to maybe do that to ourselves. And the one thing I think people have learned in my short period in public life is that, you know, I wear my own kind of hat. I always have and I always will. And it makes some people uncomfortable, even angry. But, you know, I always return fire, so to speak, by saying, well, you know, who gave so-and-so the authority to dictate to me what I should do, what I should say, where I should go. I mean, the issue came up as to, you know, why I was at the tax rally at Veterans Park last month and whatnot. First of all, I was an invited speaker. It was Constitution Week. And when I was approached by the organizers. They said it's Constitution Week. Sheriff, you want to be a speaker at our Constitution Day rally? I said, sure. It morphed into something else, but I don't make excuses for that. I made the decision to go. And truth be told, I don't like high taxes. I mean, what we're looking at right now is, you know, 14% increase in the school tax, a 4% raise or increase in the property tax. I live in the city of Milwaukee. My wife and I own a home. We pay $6,500 a year as it is, so figure 4% of that. Then there's, you know, other taxes. The county will raise their portion of the property tax and state taxes. We're talking about sales tax. Federal government is talking about maybe having to raise taxes. And I'm just beginning to ask, I haven't planned for this. Where am I supposed to get this money? And I ask this. I think a lot of people are asking themselves that. I'm not for no taxes, but at the same time, some of this has to be reasonable. So regardless of whether it was Constitution Day or not, I do support controlling government spending on some of these things. And, you know, if that sets me apart or aside from what other people feel, I don't worry about that. You know, I'm comfortable with who I am. I've been black my whole life, regardless of what others think. I hear that.
Oh, you are black?
you mean you noticed? Gee, I was hoping you wouldn't notice. But
I did hear there was only two black people at the tea party. When I was at home watching the news and I saw Sheriff Clark on, I was almost fell out the bed, you know. But I did hear that there was only two black people, and I guess you must have been one there, huh?
Well, yeah, who's counting?
I did ask him. I said, I saw you at the tea party. He looked at me like, yeah, I was. And he told me the exact same thing then, and I respect your answer.
Yeah, and you know, 351, you're listening to 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town, Sheriff Clark. You know, but I always ask, too, I ask this of myself, but I ask it of other people, you know, why do my views have to be constrained by race?
Mm-hmm.
What are the race of people have to walk around with that yoke around their neck? You know, I mean, I wonder if German Americans walk around saying, well, I wonder if people think I'm German enough. I wonder if Italian Americans walk around challenging each other, you know, well, you're not Italian enough. And I mean, to me, it gets silly after a while. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my heritage. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to allow people to paint me into a box. I come to my own conclusions about things in life, you know, who I associate with, what I believe in, who I go out with, you know, what kind of foods I eat. I mean, heck, you know, I like jazz, but at the same time, I like country music, and I like cowboy hats, and I like cowboy boots. You know, I like ribs. You know, I like cornbread and fried catfish, but at the same time,
you like foie gras, right?
I won't eat that stuff. but I do like Italian food. You know, I like guacamole. I mean, and I've made the decision. I tried those foods. I said, hey, this stuff's pretty good.
I like guacamole too, though.
I'm not going to, you know, be constrained, and I'm not going to let somebody else's opinion about me become an opinion about myself. And I learned that from General Colin Powell. You know, he said, don't let somebody else's opinions about you become your opinions about yourself. So a lot of this stuff, you know, it's you got to let it roll off your back. And, you know, we'll see where it takes us. But I enjoy being here. And I think it's time to go to the phone. So let's go to Darren. Darren, you're on the Evening Rush, 1290 WMCS. Talk of the town. Welcome.
Yeah, this is Darren. Definitely, if you was the host of the show, Sheriff Clark, I would definitely turn the radio off. And the reason why is when I hear you on AM 620 with Charlie Sykes and all them boys, you got a totally different tone when you on the shows with them boys. It's shuck and jive time when I hear you on them type of shows. When I hear you on this show, the tone totally changes. You said that you're a person that believes in diverse thought. But like I said, when you on AM 620, them boys can dog black folks out, and you will be right there grinning and skinning every time. Every time. And like I say, now that you're on 1290, a couple of times that you've been on 1290, the tone totally changes. Now, I like ribs, and I like this, and I like this. But when you're on 620, you don't say none of that. You never defend black folks.
Okay, let's let them respond.
All right. Thank you for your comment and your opinion, Darren. I mean, that to me is the great thing about this country. I think it's a great thing about America. I think it's a great thing about this radio station. We exchange views exchange ideas. You know, if that's your opinion, fine. Like I said, I'm not going to let somebody else's opinion about become my opinion about myself. I kind of disagree with what you say, and there is no time that I've ever been on a different radio station and been part of a conversation where black people are made fun of. And, you know, that makes for great theater, Darren. And, you know, you said you'd turn the radio off. Well, you haven't turned it off today. So I hope you stay tuned, because I think you'll see some things that will maybe open your mind a little bit more about the possibilities of the things that we have in common, and not just the things that we disagree about.
Can you understand at all why he would say, why he feels the way he feels?
No, I can't.
So you don't think that you've done that at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I have not.
It is 1290 WMCS, the talk of the town. I can't even see the clock. You tell me, what time is it?
3:55.
Okay, yeah.
That means Sheriff Clark in with Earl Ingram and TJ. Guess it's time to go to a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right.